You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
In a recent New Yorker cartoon, an editor tells a writer that his crime novel is great, but wonders if he could switch its locale to Sweden. It's not hard to understand why. You may have noticed how bookshelves and e-readers have been filling up with a lot of Nordic noir lately, in the wake of the enormous success of Stieg Larsson's Millennium Trilogy. So we have invited three winners of the Best Swedish Crime Novel of the Year award to our show today to talk about the genre. Arne Dahl, whose first book, Mysterioso, was published in this country by Pantheon last year, and the team of Anders Roslund and Borge Hellström. They have two books out from Silver Oak Press, 3 Seconds and Cell 8, and I'm very pleased to welcome you all to our show.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Arne, I understand you're also a literary critic. Can you give us a short history of the Scandinavian mystery novel?
Oh, how much time do we have? No, but it's a long story, but it's not as long as the American, of course. But it really starts in the 60s with Sjöwall Wahlöö, an old team of slightly revolutionary people trying to incorporate the American police novel into the Swedish society.
Well, for most of us, it was my Sjöwall and Per Wallu.
Yeah, that's who I spoke about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You say that it's police procedurals. I guess the one of the major exceptions is Stieg Larsson, who had a journalist and a hacker as his protagonist, but almost everybody else seems to be writing about a very depressed police officers. Are there a lot of depressed police officers in Sweden?
But to be trustworthy, if the choice is to write about consequences of crime and you want to do that in one book, two books, three books, you need to use the force, the police force, because that's the only place that you can meet these kind of murders or violence all the time. For us, it was an easy choice to be trustworthy.
Well, these books are so specific to their locales, and I wonder why they appeal so much to non-Swedish readers. Americans probably know more about the geography of Stockholm than they do of Cleveland, Ohio. You're nodding your head.
Probably they do, but I think it's a good spot to place a story in Stockholm. But
I don't think of it as a place where there's a lot of crime.
That's perhaps the reason. When crime gets fascinating when it's a bit away from you. Crime novels in Africa are perhaps not as interesting as crime novels in a place that seems to be a little paradise. You got perhaps the impression of Sweden and Stockholm as being non-criminal, but that's not really true.
But we have had a couple of hundred years of not being participating in wars, so we have actually had a lot of time to not just think about but to consider the consequences of individual crime and how to be able to live after that. Because as Arne said, in South America or in Africa, you have the consequences of state violence. But we have had the time to focus on this, and that's why we, I think, all put it in these hopefully exciting crime novels, because this is a good way to both entertain and to actually discuss. And as Arne said, Stockholm is not the role model. These are borderless crimes, human trafficking or drugs trafficking. It's just as much Swedish as an American crime.
Well, you like many writers of crime fiction, started out as a journalist, didn't you, Anders?
I started out as just as Stieg Larsson did, and we worked in the same area with the extreme right-wing area, so we met a few times discussing how to survive that journalism. I lived with a bodyguard, and he helped me out at that point. So it's a good way to start
Well, Americans are very surprised when they hear of an extreme right wing in Sweden. And then there was that awful massacre earlier this year. We always thought of Sweden as the perfect welfare state that produces the safest car in the, and most boring car in the world, the Volvo.
Yeah.
But now, just to finish this, we also have, for the first time ever, we have the Swedish Democrats voted into the parliament, and they are extreme
right-wing.
Mm-hmm. So and their main question is non-immigrants. So it's now a true thing.
Well, you also were a parole officer?
I was a parole officer, just as my friend Berge here, and that
was Berge, his biography states that that you're an ex-criminal.
Yeah.
Can we ask what kind of criminal activity you were involved in?
Yeah, yes, you can. No, I've been, it's a very long time ago. And as a youth, I committed many crimes, assault, and theft, burglary, fraud, and stuff like that. So yes, I've been an ex-criminal. But today, that's important because Anders talked about this. Today, I am a parole officer. I'm also a juror in a Swedish court, and I'm a member of a police board in Stockholm. So,
and you write novels about other people who commit crimes. But do you have an insight into the criminal mind because of your own experience, I think?
Yeah, more or less. Let's say like this. If my story, I think you call it the elevator pitch. Isn't that right? And as a youth, I committed many crimes, and I also created many victims at that time. And I didn't bother about them, no way. And the lack of empathy, sure, but as a perpetrator, you have no advantage being able to feel empathy. But and as a perpetrator, I was automatically inhumanized the bad. The evil demon, bad to the bone, I think. And I was not a good person, but and I was sent to jail for a couple of times, yeah. No worries, because I believe in giving perpetrators consequences. But my victim never gets retribution. They got revenge for me when I was sent to jail.
Well, one of these novels, 3 Seconds, features Pete Hoffman, an ex-criminal turned police informant who goes undercover to investigate the drug trade within Swedish prisons. Is that based on something that actually happened?
There have been similar histories in Sweden.
All our books are based on real, true or half true stories, and that's the facts we build our fiction on.
Arne, I realize I made a mistake. The massacre I was referring to occurred in Norway, not in Sweden. And does it bother you that Americans often confuse Norway and Sweden, even though they're different languages? And
yeah, they're different, but we're also very close, so it doesn't bother us, I think. The Scandinavian factor is perhaps bigger than the national factor.
My guests are Arne Dahl, whose first book, Misterioso, has just been published in this country by Pantheon last year, and the team of Anders Rosland and Borge Hellstrom, who have 2 books just out from Silver Oak Press, 3 Seconds and Cell 8. Arne, Misterioso was written quite a few years back.
Yes, it's actually the first in a series of 10 books that are in existence in Sweden. So I hope they will be published soon in America.
But I suspect more books are being published from the past because of the popularity of Scandinavian mystery writing around the world.
Yes, and perhaps also because Misterioso is, in a paradoxical way, very, very contemporary.
It also takes its title from an American jazz composition. We'll take a little break, and when we come back, we will talk more about Nordic noir. Stay with us. We're back with our discussion of Nordic noir with Arne Dahl, whose Misterioso has just been published in this country, named after the composition we're listening to by Thelonious Monk. It's published by Pantheon. We also have the team of Rosalind and Hellstrom, who have two new books out from Silver Oak Press, 3 Seconds and Cell 8. Can you talk a bit about Misterioso, how you wound up writing a book about racism, discrimination against immigrants, the growing gap between haves and have-nots, and naming it after a Thelonious Monk composition?
As you said, it was published in the late 90s, and it was some time ago. But at that time, I was a different writer. I was not Arne Dahl at all. It's a pen name, so. And I was doing other kind of literature, mostly rather narrow, rather small stuff. And I was looking for a way to turn my gaze to the society and to contemporary things, and try to use all my potentially literary skills in a contemporary society, and looking for very, very specific things happening. And I had this large project. It was sort of based on the Sjöwall Wahle, my Sjöwall Per Wahle idea of writing 10 books in 10 years, trying to sort of portray a decade. And it was a very logical place to start with the financial crisis of the 90s, which is so similar to the one today.
Well, the Russian mafia also plays a part in this.
Yeah, and this was a time when the wall fell down, the Berlin Wall, and Russia and the Eastern Europe thing suddenly became a fact for us in Sweden, so it became so much closer.
And in 3 Seconds, we have Polish drug smugglers. Is Russian and Eastern European organized crime as big a problem in Sweden as it would appear to be in these books?
It is a big problem. It's our everyday problem. It is just not just the Eastern Mafia. We have the Mexican, we have the whatever. It's part of our country as well. But we are so new to that. We are naive still. And
it used to be a rather homogeneous culture, and then suddenly people started coming from all over the world.
Yeah, but also we got our virginity when our prime minister, 86, he was murdered. He didn't have a bodyguard, so because this was Sweden.
Do people even know still who killed him?
No. It's still our big national failure. It's a national failure. And still our foreign minister, she was killed just a few years ago, out shopping also without a bodyguard, because this is Sweden. We don't need that, but we do.
Well, your book, Cell 8, takes place partly in the United States and deals with the death penalty in this country. Why is that an issue of interest to you?
It's okay.
Yeah.
It is about the death penalty. But for the first thing, it's about what you call here is redemption or retribution, and the mix-up between that and revenge. So when you want to write an amusing story about that and you live in Sweden, you need to pick the ultimate crime, which is murder, and you need to pick the ultimate penalty, which is the death penalty.
Which doesn't happen in Europe.
And since we don't have it, we had to bring it to Sweden with this man escaping from death row in America. And that was our way to discuss how to retribution or redemption more than really the death penalty.
Arne, Misterioso was translated by Tina Nunnally, who also translated Peter Hoag's Smilla's Sense of Snow, which was a big bestseller here in the 1990s. How important is it to get the right translator?
I think it is. As opposed to a lot of other languages, you can actually be a part of it.
Because you speak English well.
Well, some of it. Some, anyway. Enough to see what the translation is like and to be a part of it.
What about you, Andersen Borge? Have you found a translator who's able to recreate your style?
Now we have.
Yeah.
And it's very, very hard to get the rhythm, to get the feeling, and I'm so happy that I don't read Japanese or whatever, because we are published there and we are very proud of it, but it's good to the lack of control here.
You don't believe him because he's sad, because he can't read Japanese, he can't check.
It's you can't find out whether they have totally changed your book. Yeah. Well, your 3 seconds lists Carl Dixon as a translator, but Selle doesn't list a translator. Did you translate it yourselves?
No, Selle has the same translator as she is a Norwegian living in Scotland. So Norwegian again.
Mm-hmm. Well. A Norwegian living in Scotland.
Yeah, okay. Translating into Swedish for the American market.
Did Stieg Larsson change everything? Because we've been reading books from Scandinavia for a while now in this country, but I'm wondering whether when his books became really big, American publishers all flocked to Sweden saying, kind of like looking for players for their team, who can we sign up?
Yeah, it did change a lot of things. It also had the strange effect of us, all of us, being the heirs or the followers of Stieg Larsson, which is not true.
Never lived to see his own success.
No, which was very strange. And I wrote books, crime fiction, long before he did, and I'm still sort of his follower nowadays, which is interesting. But he opened all the doors that were previously very, very closed. I mean, we couldn't even dream about getting an American translation or perhaps a movie contract or something like that. And suddenly these doors are open.
So have people talked to you about films?
Well, they have probably talked a little bit more with my fellow writers here on my side.
Well, Henny Mankell, of course, the Kurt Wallander books have been made into a TV movie starring Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah. Well, my books have recently been transformed into a TV series in Sweden, and then they were sent during the Christmas, and it was a big national success with 15% of the Swedish population watching. So it was a big national success, but I still have this threshold left to reach the American market.
What about you, Anders?
We have had it's been a war here because we have they're all made into movies in Sweden, Swedish company. But then the 3 seconds book were bought by Hollywood, so now they are transforming it to an American blockbuster, actually. And they had since American company own the names of all characters, and the Swedish companies already had started to produce the Swedish movies. They have been video conferences for 8 months to solve that problem. We are just so happy that there are movies made.
What Elmer Leonard decided to do was to create the same character and change his name every book so that the movie companies wouldn't be able to control him when he wrote the next book. That's a pretty clever idea. You guys think about that?
And that's a clever idea, for sure.
It is better, yeah.
So how many books – first you, Arne. How many books have you published in Sweden altogether?
As Arne Dahl, as I said earlier, I have two different names. But as Arne Dahl, I have published 12, and I'm going to publish number 13 this spring.
And what about the Rosalind and Hellström combination? How many books?
We're just have been handed in our 6 manuscripts, so it's 5 books published, and this spring it was number 6. So we are not half of one at all. 2 authors half.
And there will be a heavy competition this spring between us.
Well, it's always fun, I'm sure, to see international bestseller or New York Times bestseller put on the cover of your books. And thank you, and also, of course, winner of the best Swedish crime novel. And my great thanks to the three of you for coming by to talk about Nordic Noir. I've been speaking with Arne Dahl, who one of 2 names this man has, whose Misterioso was published in this country by Pantheon last year, and the team of Anders Rosslund and Borge Hellström. Their 2 books are from Silver Oak Press, 3 Seconds and Cell 8.